Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. It is Sunday, April 2nd, 2023. Where is the year going? Does it seem like time goes faster to you,
Ed? It seems this month has gone real fast.
Is it just me, or as we get older, does the time seem to move quicker?
All right, wait a minute. What are you trying to say about me?
Time goes really fast for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, well, it's great to have everyone here this evening. You can find us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. We're glad you're here. And this is the Prophecies of Hope Ministry, and we just want to thank Ray Powers for allowing us to be here each and every week on Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, just a little bit about the ministry. We tell you this every week, but each week we have new listeners. So tell us a little bit about this ministry, would you, Ed?
Prophecies of Hope is just a little ministry in Stanton, Virginia, a little town of Stanton, Virginia. And we have services on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. It's a Bible study. We do Zoom that. And then on Saturday or the Sabbath, we have a regular church service. We have a Bible study at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, and our worship hours at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, very good. And as far as the midweek study, if somebody wants to Zoom that, they can contact us by email.
Yes.
And they can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or myself is ed@prophecyhope.com. And they're working now, right?
They are working now, yes. And we've had some internet issues as far as our website. We migrated to a different company, and it's just, I'm still working on it. I've been working on it for over a month, and it's just really tedious. Just a couple of days ago, I got the internet or the emails working correctly. You can email us also if you forget our names. You can email us at office@prophecyhope.com. And as far as each year, we actually have a Bible series.
Yes.
And we do that in September, October. It depends on our schedules. And this year, we're going to have a Bible series from September 20th through the 23rd, and you can stream that live.
Yeah, we also stream our services on Saturday or Sabbath as well.
Yes, and that's actually at prophecyhope.com. That's the website, prophecyhope.com. And we would love to have you tune in or join us there. If you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, we would love for you to stop and visit. In fact, right now in the studio with us, we have a brother here that visited from Greece.
Yeah.
We had never met him. He just popped in on us a few weeks ago.
It was great.
And it's been really, really good. Yeah. It's just been great to have him here. And he actually knows the Greek language, and he's helped us to understand some things in the Bible even more clearly. So it's pretty amazing. I think that's about it as far as talking about the ministry, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week.
Before Acts 19, we're talking about some of the adventures of Paul, the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Ev, would you pray for us, please?
Sure, let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this day and for this opportunity to come together and study your word. Father, as we look at the life of Paul in the Bible, may you give us understanding of what his life was about, how his knowledge of Christ affected his life and his ministry, and how he wishes to share what he knows with others. And so do we. So as we open your word today, give us wisdom and knowledge. Give us the spirit of truth to guide us as we study these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So last week we were in the book of Acts, and we'd finished at the end of the program, I was looking for a word there. At the end of the program, we went to Romans chapter 6, and you read several verses from there. And we went from Acts chapter 19. We finished up here. I think the last thing you read here in Acts 19 was verse 6. Okay. And I just want to encourage those of you who are listening, if it's possible, it's always good, if you can, to open your Bible and look at these texts yourself. Because inevitably, if you do that, you're going to see things that you wouldn't otherwise hear.
Right.
If you can hear it and you can see it, it really has a much bigger impact on you.
Right.
So if that's possible, we want to encourage you to do that. If you're driving down the road, don't do that.
Yeah.
So where are we going to pick up, Ed?
Well, I would suggest we just pick up at verse 11.
Okay.
And read the section 11 through 20. Do you mind reading that for us?
Acts chapter 19?
Yes.
11 through how far?
20.
Through 20. All right. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." So I'm going to read that again, that last part. "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed.
You know, in verse 11, it says that God did works of power through the hands of Paul. Mm-hmm. The miracles that occurred through the ministry of Paul was through the power of God working through him. It was
Absolutely.
Nothing about Paul's abilities or anything like that. It was God working through Paul.
That's so true. You know, there are, unfortunately, sometimes there are ministries and ministers that take credit for themselves when miracles happen.
Right.
But if anything miraculous happens, it's typically not from that person, especially if it's something in a positive way. It has to be from God.
Right. And, you know, this is a curious story here that people were trying to exorcise demons out of people mm-hmm. by using the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches.
Yes.
What does that tell you about those people?
Well, I guess they recognized that there was power in that name.
Yeah.
But there was a problem a little later on in this account.
It doesn't sound like they knew Jesus personally.
That's true.
They were using the Jesus that Paul preached about, his name.
Right.
To try to exercise these demons. You know, demons are real. The devil is active in this world and is real, powerful.
I'm really glad you said that, Ed, because so many times people get involved in things and we don't even think about it.
Right.
We might watch TV programs. There's a TV program that's called Ghosts. I see it advertised all the time. Why would I want to watch that?
Yeah.
You know, why would I bring that influence into my home? Because if we know and understand what happens when we die, then we know that these can't be people who are deceased.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still around, but there was a program called Lucifer.
I heard about that. I don't know if that's still on or not either.
Yeah, but why would you want to watch that?
And there's a program called The Walking Dead. It was like the number one program. And so these things are really, they're contrary to the message that the Bible gives us.
And don't get us wrong, we believe that Satan is alive and
Absolutely.
His angels, his demons are very active in people's lives. But what we're saying is don't get involved with them.
Right.
It's dangerous.
That's right. And if we recognize the power of the name Jesus
yeah.
and what he can really do for you, and the fact that this is God's son, God has given him that power.
Yeah.
The power ultimately came from God through the son, and we can receive that.
Right. You know, when these men were trying to cast out this demon, the demon's response was, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?"
Wow.
Wow, he's right. Obviously, these men didn't really have a relationship with Christ or his Father.
So you're right. I have a question, though, about this, because this spirit... It says, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? How did the Spirit know Paul and Jesus? That's my question.
Well, yeah.
How did the Spirit know? Evidently, the Spirit had been cast out by Paul by means of the power that Jesus gave him at some other time.
Could be, yeah.
And he recognized, wait a minute, you're coming here in that name, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That man likely didn't know Jesus.
Right. It's, again, a very dangerous thing dealing or messing around with the devil.
It is. Yeah. I think this is something that today, it's almost as if people are teasing about it. I don't know. Think about the music that we listen to, Ed.
Right.
You know, what kind of music do we allow in our home or on our car radio or through our YouTube channel? What are we watching on YouTube? Are the things that we watch, and I think all of us need to look at that.
Yes.
I know I've had to go through my music collection and shred CDs because I'd look at the cover and I'd say, wow, the cover of this is demonic.
Oh.
What are the lyrics like? And then when you open it up and you read the lyrics, I was never a lyric guy.
Right.
But paying attention to these things, as we read through this.
The words make a difference.
They do. And as we read through this account, I wonder how many people picked up on some of the things that happened. I hope we're going to discuss some of these things.
Yeah. You know, there are people, though, that worship Satan.
There are, unfortunately.
There are people that are involved in witchcraft.
Yes.
Look at Harry Potter. It's very popular these days.
It is.
And I, through my course of my professional career, interacting with a lot of people from a lot of different areas of life, I've known people that are involved in witchcraft.
Yes. I know. I actually have had a Bible study with a young lady. She's not from around here. We study over the phone through WhatsApp because she lives in another country. And she was very, very much involved in the occult and in these things. And she will tell you, you know, when you break free, there's a freedom that you get that you can't possibly understand once you have Christ.
Right.
And she knows and sees the influence of the devil and the subtle things that he uses that most people would miss.
Right.
She's in tune with that. And she's very careful about those things and tries to stay completely away from it.
Right.
And depend on Jesus to lead her in every way.
You know, I don't know if people understand how active the devil is. A number of years ago for the Super Bowl, Madonna gave a concert. And it was a black church concert in terms of black being satanistic. And that whole presentation was worshiping Satan.
Yes.
And I bet most people had no idea that was going on.
Most people didn't. There was another one where a young lady named Katy Perry was involved in. And there was so much symbolism in there that had to do with the occult and Freemasonry and all of these types of things. So, you know, just I want to read a text very quickly.
Okay.
It's in 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, we're talking about the devil and what he can do. I'm going to start in 1 Peter 5, verse 6. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." See, God wants to lift us up.
Right.
It says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And the next verse says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." A roaring lion.
Yeah.
You know, when you read that, when it says he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, if you look at that in the original language, it says that he's wanting to drink you down.
Yeah.
And one thing about a lion, once they get a taste of blood, they become more hungry for it.
Yeah.
So once you allow Satan into your life, this is using this term for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to devour you, just like a lion devouring blood.
we need to recognize that Satan doesn't have our best interest in his mind. You know, he wants to destroy us because we're part of God's creation.
Yes. It's so true. And it started right there in the garden.
Yeah.
That's how it started here on earth anyway. It was right there. And he wants followers. He wants people to follow him. And these subtle ways, when we look at this account here in Acts chapter 19 where we're reading, there are some interesting things that take place that show what we can do to resist the devil.
Right. You know, the story that you read here in Acts 19 talks at the end that many who believed, verse 18, came and confessed and showed their deeds. Verse 19, also many of those practicing the curious arts, bringing together the books, burned them before all. And it was worth a lot of money. These books, these ideas that were basically worshiping the devil.
Yes.
Magic and...
That's what it says.
And so on.
Yes. Yeah, mine says...
Fortune telling, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These things are all throughout the Bible. They're forbidden by God. These are things we shouldn't be delving into.
Right.
And here's the point with verse 19, if we look at it in a modern-day application. What do I have in my possession that may have elements of these things?
Yes.
And it might be worth a lot of money.
Right.
It might be something that's near and dear to my heart. You know, I mentioned it a moment ago. I love music.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the music that I love, I really shouldn't listen to.
Yeah.
So I've removed that from my home. You get it out. And what they did here, there's a great precedent here. Because what did they do with those books?
They burned them.
Yeah, they didn't just say, well, I don't want this anymore. Let me give it to my cousin. Or let me give it to somebody that
will use
it.
Let me sell it.
Yeah, or let me sell it. Yeah. Right. And they didn't just throw it away.
Yeah.
Because if you throw it in the trash, somebody could potentially get it, and you could be causing them trouble.
Right.
So we really, and I realize that some people are going to hear this and think, well, that's really over the top.
Yeah.
Is it?
No.
Not at all. This is what we see in the Bible. This is what it's telling us. Get these things, if possible, get them away from you. Get them out of your life. Destroy them.
You know, these things will have an effect in how you live your life.
They will.
How you treat others. You know, so many people today, this very day we live in, there's so many shootings and stabbings and school shootings and everything going on, wars, and there's so much violence and hate. This is the result of the effect of Satan in this world.
That's right. And sin is in each one of us.
Yes.
And we can be enticed easily by these things. You know, just to show you, I'll just give you a little statistic. I read something that said that we are exposed to about 3,000 ads per day. And I thought, that seems
really
excessive. 3,000? How could you even say that? But just think about it. Just look around you, even in this studio. The microphones that we're using have logos on them. This mixer here, the computer.
Your shirt.
My shirt. The watch that you wear. Yeah. The phone you have. The car you drive. So think about driving down the highway. All of the billboards you see, the signs you see, the cars you see. Yeah.
What you hear on the radio. Yeah.
Exactly. The glasses that you wear. Whatever it is. Your shoes. It's amazing how much we're exposed to things, and all of that in a subtle way has an impact on us, all of those things. So think about what the devil is involved in. He's in logos.
Uh-huh.
He's in logos, and we see churches putting up logos that actually have signs of the devil in them, and many of them don't even know it. They're not even aware of it.
Yeah.
And this is why in this ministry there's no logos.
Right. There's no church steeple in our church.
Correct.
There's no cross in our church.
That's right.
People may find that odd, but there's a reason for that, because the cross initially was a pagan symbol.
Yes. Yeah. So, and of course, we believe that Jesus died on a cross.
Right.
We know that that's how he was crucified.
Praise God he did.
Amen.
Otherwise, we would have no salvation.
We wouldn't be here,
you
know. So it's really just this particular section of Scripture, I hope it causes you just to do a self-examination,
right,
just to take a look. And even if you start small, you might say, well, I'm not ready to give this or that up. Just make it a matter of prayer. And the things that you are willing to put out of your life. You know, I mentioned this too, the magic kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? So many people take their kids there. The Bible condemns those things.
Right.
So why would I want to condone them?
Right.
And it's a very sensitive topic,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that has to be talked about.
Right.
And I don't know. My grandfather used to say, the devil's in the details.
Mm.
That's what he used to say a lot. And it's so true. He's infiltrated everything.
So in this section that you read, but look at the power of God working through Paul.
Mm.
It had an effect on people. So that the verse 20, so that the word of God grew mightily and prevailed.
Mm. Amen. Yeah, and you know, the other thing is this. You notice it says that even some of the handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from right. his body to the sick, and the diseases left those people. It wasn't that those things had any particular power.
Right.
It was just like the lady that touched the garment of Jesus.
Yeah,
it was the power of Jesus that healed
yes.
her.
Yes.
And that's what's doing it here.
Right.
It's not these things are charms or any kind of thing.
Right.
It's the power of Jesus Christ that is causing the healing.
Right.
And that's what's going to heal us when we're translated,
mm-hmm.
when Christ comes. It's not anything that does it. He and the Father translate us.
Right.
So where are we going next, Ed?
Let's continue on in Acts 19.
All right.
I'm going to read this section here. This is going to be a long section, but we're going to read verses 21 through the end of the chapter. But I think this is a very interesting account here.
Okay.
This is the modern King James Version, verse 21 of Acts 19. After these things were ended, passing through Macedonia and Achaia, Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I come there, I must also see Rome. And sending into Macedonia two who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, he stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time, there was a little stir about the way. The way being the Christian church, the early Christian
yes.
church.
Yes, my Bible has a capital W on
yes.
that.
Verse 24, for a certain silversmith named Demetrius was making silver temples of Artemis, providing not a little trade for the craftsmen. And assembling the workmen about such things, he said, men, you know that from this trade is our wealth. And you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost all Asia, this Paul, having persuaded, he has perverted the huge crowd, saying that those things which are made with hands are no gods. And not only is this dangerous to us, our share coming into dispute, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be counted for nothing, and her magnificence is also about to be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships. And hearing and becoming full of anger, they cried out, saying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And all the city was filled with confusion. And they rushed with one accord to the theater, keeping a firm grip on Gaius and
Aristarchus?
Aristarchus? Yeah. And Macedonians, traveling companions of Paul. And Paul, intending to go into the mob, the disciples did not allow him. And some of the chief men of Asia, being his friends, sent to him, begging him not to give himself into the theater. Then indeed others cried out some other things, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Okay, there's this great uproar in the city.
Yes.
These men, these craftsmen, were upset with Paul because he was preaching that there's no gods made of hands,
mm-hmm.
which they earned their living by producing.
That's correct.
And so they created this uproar in the city about, I'm sure they said something about their goddess that was offensive, and they all gathered in the theater. And verse 32 says they were crying out some of the things, for the assembly was confused, and most of them didn't know why they had come together.
We see that today, don't we?
Riot just to riot.
Yeah, just carry on.
Not knowing why. Verse 33, and they dragged Alexander forward out of the crowd, the Jews thrusting him forward, and waving his hand, Alexander desired to defend himself to the mob. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for 2 hours' time, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And quieting the crowd, the town clerk said, men, Ephesians, what one of you does not know that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Artemis, and of the fallen from the sky? I believe they believe this goddess fell from the sky.
Hmm.
Since these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men, who are neither robbers of the temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and those craftsmen with him truly have a matter against anyone, the court days are kept, and there are proconsuls. Let them plead against one another. But if you ask anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being accused of revolt concerning today, there being no cause by which we may give an account of this crowd together. And seeing these things, he dismissed the assembly. There was a wise man there.
Yes. There's a lot here to unpack, Ed.
Yes.
There's a lot in this account that's very interesting to me. You know, it's interesting, too, that Paul is denouncing these gods. We read in Acts 17 in the past about the Areopagus,
yes,
where he didn't get on them for that. But he said, now's the time to repent.
Yeah.
So here he's in a different place, and he's talking to these folks, it looks like. And this god Artemis,
yeah,
do you know anything? It's in my Bible, it says Diana.
Okay. Yeah.
And but it has a footnote that says Artemis.
Yeah.
And this is actually a god that is a fertility god.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we look at, there's a holiday that's coming up where people celebrate the fertility, and that's called Easter.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that they've brought this type of thing that Paul is denouncing into the church.
Okay, you need to explain that a little bit, because isn't Easter involved with Christ's crucifixion?
The Easter Sunday was typically made to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the problem is what they've done, Jesus never said to celebrate his resurrection. He said, remember my death. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not happy. We're thrilled that he's living because we can have Christ in us today because of that. But the emphasis he wanted to put on his death, because that's what purchased us back from the condition that this adversary that we're talking about put us in, right? And so what's happened is today they've developed all of these pagan things like Easter eggs, painting the eggs, rabbits. What do rabbits have? Do rabbits lay eggs? What do they have to do with the birth or the resurrection of Christ?
So here's what I hear you saying. There's been a mixing of paganism and Christianity in celebrating Easter. Is that what you're saying?
And it's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with recognizing the day of Christ's resurrection and saying, "We're glory to the Lord, he's resurrected."
Right.
But when you start bringing these things in and doing things that are really right here, we see in the book of Acts.
So they're actually not only celebrating the resurrection of Christ, but they're celebrating this other god, this
false
pagan god,
without even knowing it. Yeah. And I realize that many of you who are listening probably have no idea.
Yeah.
But these are the subtle ways that we're talking about earlier that the devil uses to deceive us. These things creep in.
I think people would be surprised how much paganism is mixed into Christianity.
Yes, it's tremendous. And and much of it was brought in during the Dark Ages, during the Middle Ages. And so when we look at these things and we look at this temple, another thing that they were concerned about is this was going to affect their income.
Yes.
Because they carve these gods and make them, and they get lots of money for doing it. So if you think about it, what would happen to our economy here in the United States where we are if all Christians said, you know what, we're not going to do the Easter thing anymore as far as all of these purchases. We're not going to do Valentine's Day and buy all these cards because it's rooted in paganism. And Christmas time, we're not going to purchase all of these gifts and trees. And what would that do to the economy?
Yeah, especially the chocolate manufacturers, you know?
Yeah, well, hey, don't get me on chocolate. Yeah. I love chocolate. Yeah. But but it's so true. Yeah. The candy companies, the toy companies, just about everybody.
So that was what really, when you come down, created the uproar.
Yes.
Because I don't know how much of it was these men were concerned about their God that they worshipped, or it was more about their income.
Well, that's their God.
Well, yeah.
Think money. About that.
Yeah.
That's the case for a lot of people today, that money is their God. With just about anything, whether it's political or even in religion, unfortunately, if you follow the money trail, you follow where the power is.
So when we see this account, this story here, it shows you how effective the ministry of Paul was.
It had a huge impact.
It wasn't only an emphasis, but almost all of Asia, according to this man. This Paul, having persuaded, verse 26, he has perverted a huge crowd, saying that those things which are made with hands are no gods.
Yeah.
He was preaching about the true God, the creator of the heavens and
Absolutely.
Earth, and then his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he was obviously saying or teaching these people that these other gods are not real gods. They're false gods.
Absolutely. They're not gods. He had just preached about that a couple of chapters earlier.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the ministry of Paul was so powerful. Look at how he impacted these people. And, you know, really, I think a lot of people would look at him as a troublemaker.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
But there were a lot of people converted and that knew Christ because of what he did.
Yeah, Paul, I think his motivation, first of all, is on his road to Damascus, which we talked about earlier, he experienced Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
And he was converted, he was changed, he was transformed. And he wants to share that with other people. He wants to share the knowledge of the true God and his son Jesus Christ with other people. And the impact he experienced himself personally in his own life. He wants to share and have people experience that same thing themselves.
Yeah.
The benefits of knowing God and his son Jesus Christ. The hope that we have. And salvation through Jesus Christ.
What could be more exciting?
Yes.
You know, when there's something that we enjoy, we typically want to share it with somebody. We can't wait to tell someone about it. So when we know Jesus, how can we help ourselves? I can't help myself. This is why we're doing what we're doing now.
Right.
We're so excited about it, we can't keep quiet. And, you know, this is an amazing thing. One of the things I appreciate about Paul's ministry is, yes, he pushed some people's buttons and he upset people.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he tried to become likable. He wanted to be like they were. He kind of rolled up his sleeves, so to speak.
And isn't there saying, become all things to all people?
To all people, yeah. Actually, Paul says that. And I'll see if I can find that. Where are we going next, Ed?
We're just going to next chapter in Acts, chapter 20. And it talks more about Paul's ministry, where he's going, and there's this amazing miracle that happens in this chapter of chapter 20. So let me continue in Acts 20. I'm going to read verses.
I found that text.
Okay, good.
It's just 1 Corinthians 9:22. Okay. If you read that sometime, 1 Corinthians 9, but he says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some." So it means that, you know, he didn't try to look like someone that he wasn't.
Right.
He just, if he was with someone who was weak, he'd get down in the, like I said, get down in the trenches with them. And I don't think he was a pretender. I think he was the real deal.
Right. He wanted to be someone who could be understood by other people.
Relatable.
Relatable,
right?
Yeah.
You know, if you have a boss that sits in an office all day and doesn't interact with you, you know, that's not the kind of boss you want to work for. Go ahead.
Well, I think we've all been there. We've had supervisors, bosses that tell us how to do our job, which have no idea how to do our job.
That's right.
Because they've never done it.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ, right, is that he came and lived as we are.
Yeah, he did our job.
He lived in our in our type of body, right? And overcame.
And experienced everything we experienced.
Yes. And here Paul came from this horrible background and is converted. So he's been there. He's been where we are. Where, you know, if we've had doubts or we feel rebellious or whatever it is, he's done it. So you were going to take us somewhere else.
Yeah, let's go to Acts 20. I'm going to read the first six verses of Acts 20.
Okay.
And it says, after the uproar has ceased, talking about what we read about just a minute ago in Acts 19, calling the disciples and greeted them, Paul left to go into Macedonia. And passing through those parts, exhorting them with much speech, he came into Greece, of all places. And speaking 3 months there, there being a plot against him by the Jews, being about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him into Asia. And Aristarchus and Seleucus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychius and Trophimus as far as Asia. Going before, these waited for us at Troas. And after the days of unleavened bread, we sailed away to Philippi and came to them at Troas in 5 days, and we stayed 7 days. This is just an account of where Paul was going.
All these different places. And again, a lot of these are found in the maps in the back of our Bible. We mentioned that last week.
Yeah. You know, I almost started laughing when I read verse 2.
Yeah?
Exhorting them with much speech. if you study much of Paul's writings in the Bible, he has tremendously long sentences
he
writes. And it's just because he wants people to know every single detail of what he's talking about to give them better understanding of what he's talking about.
Because he knows these things so well. That's why he can run on like he does.
Yes.
You know, we talk about run-on sentences.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in his sentences, there's meat. You know what I'm saying? There's so much understanding there.
And if you take the time to look at the words that he says on the page, just take your time. Just take one phrase at a time and think about what it says. And explore the Bible and see if any place else in the Bible talks about these same things.
Right.
And it will give you a deep understanding of the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It will.
And that's what he preaches.
Many of the things that Paul says, many of the things that he, if you go back in the Old Testament, you'll find these statements and these things that he's talking about. He's referring back because that was pointing forward to the coming of Christ. So he uses that to prove that Jesus is in fact who he said he was.
Yes.
And it's so beautiful to me.
Yeah. Can you continue reading this next section of verses 7 through 16?
Okay, Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, and was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even until daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Then when he went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go out on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. And the following day, we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trigilium. The next day we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost.
So here we have Paul preaching. We just read that he was exhorting them with much speech.
Yes.
And here he was doing that, apparently, because this young man fell asleep listening to him.
That's right.
And it was evening time, and it was dark, you know?
Sure.
So it was on the first of the Sabbaths that this happened, and this man fell out of the third story, I believe it says.
Yes, that's what it
says. To the ground,
says.
And he died.
And Paul did a resurrection right there.
Through the power of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mentioned this a week ago in a sermon, that I think sometimes there are miracles that happen each day that we just overlook because we're so consumed with the things around us.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel that way, Ed? Do you think that we miss things sometimes?
I've experienced miracles in my life.
Yes, I have too.
There's no question. My youngest son, I have two sons. Austin was born in 1992. Give you a little idea how old I am. And at his birth, he came out gray.
Wow.
Having trouble breathing. And we were using a midwife, and it was at the hospital we were at, and her physician backup happened to be at the hospital that very day.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him on oxygen right away, and he pinked up, and so they did x-rays, and I was watching them through the window. And they discovered what was wrong. He had a diaphragmatic hernia. Your diaphragm separates your abdominal contents from your chest cavity, where your heart and your lungs are.
Okay.
His diaphragm hadn't closed. So his abdominal contents, his intestines, were in his chest cavity.
Wow.
So his lungs were not matured. It had an effect on his heart. So, I mean, I was praying right then, you know. And so the decision was to take him to the University of Michigan and in Ann Arbor, and they have what they call an ECMO program there. Dialysis is taking stuff out of your blood. ECMO is putting oxygen into your blood.
Oh, really? I'd never heard of that.
Because his lungs weren't mature enough to support life.
Okay.
And so he had surgery before he was a day old. So a couple of friends of mine, Mike and Robin, drove me there to meet the ambulance there, and they prayed with me and for my son, Austin. And he had surgery. Didn't end up having to go on the ECMO program.
Wow.
He was in intensive care for 7 weeks. And then as soon as he got out, we moved down here to Virginia.
So the first 7 weeks of his life, he was in ICU
after
having surgery on the first day of his life.
Today he's married. He's an engineer, works as a civilian for the Navy, and he has my only grandchild who just turned 1 year old.
That's right.
That was a miracle.
That is a miracle.
While I was there, I spent a lot of time there with him in an intensive care unit. And I remember an incubator next to him. The parents were in there, and they drew a curtain around the incubator. They were taking that infant off a ventilator and allowing him to die because he wasn't going to live.
Oh, wow. And you were there that day.
Yeah. So my son never had to go on the ECMO program. And I believe that was a miracle.
When I
first got there, I talked to the resident, the surgical resident, and he said there was an 80% chance of mortality, 80% chance of him dying.
Wow.
With the ECMO program, there was still a 40%, and he never had to go on the ECMO program.
That is miraculous,
so
absolutely.
That was a miracle.
It is.
There's no question in my mind.
See, and the thing is, you were focused on that. You were paying attention.
Yes.
And I really think that there are things that happen, you know, when we have a near accident, right? Do we ever stop and think, if I would have been 2 seconds earlier, if I hadn't been delayed by that car that was slowing me down?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. I know exactly what you're saying.
And so the things that we're not paying attention to, And I heard someone say just recently, and I was listening. I listen to talk radio quite often, and somebody was interviewing someone, and they said, "What do you attribute your success to?" And he says, "You know, I've learned to slow down and enjoy what God has given me."
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I thought that was amazing. Yeah. And here's what he said. He said, for example, he said, just this morning. Now, this guy's in his 90s.
Okay.
He says, just this morning, he said, I got up. He said, I have blueberries for breakfast every morning. He said, they're in some form of my breakfast. He said, and I just sat there, and I ate one blueberry at a time, and I just savored the moment.
Huh.
He said, we're always in a hurry.
Yes.
We're moving so fast. We're missing so much.
Right.
He said, and what I have learned is to slow down. He said, right. And I've learned it at old age.
Yeah.
Just slow down and enjoy the moment.
Right.
That means so much. And that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
Slow down and enjoy these things and recognize not only what God is doing, but it'll help you to recognize when the adversary is coming at you.
Yes, yes.
So thank you for sharing that testimony.
Sure.
That's a beautiful thing. And I hope that it encourages people that are listening to think about the things in your life that have happened in a positive way.
Yes.
And I believe that God is involved in everyone's life if we allow him to be.
You know, you just said something that stimulated something in my mind. I've been studying with a lady online, and the last Zoom study we did, we were started studying the book of Daniel.
Okay.
You know, the book of Daniel is about how King Nebuchadnezzar went to Babylon and took, and you know, overcame Israel and took captives with them to Babylon.
That's right.
Well, we were reading the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24. God did this for their good.
Yes, he did.
To save those and those that were left. Chapter 24 is a story about two baskets of figs, good figs and bad figs.
You're talking about in Jeremiah,
yeah,
right?
In Jeremiah. And the good figs were the ones that were taken captive to Babylon, and the bad figs were the ones that were left, and they were eventually destroyed.
Wow.
So even though something which seems bad in our life, sometimes it's for our good.
Sure. When we read the account of Job,
yeah.
What a struggle he had, but how it bolstered his faith, and we still talk about him today.
Yeah.
And the things that he did and how he was blessed at the end of Job, the blessings he received.
Yeah.
So sometimes this life is not going to be easy for everyone.
Right.
It's difficult for most. But if we can endure, there's such blessings ahead.
Right. The story I shared about my son, I had no idea why God allowed that to happen.
Right.
It was extremely stressful at the time.
It was, I'm sure.
Maybe it's so I can share that witness with others. I don't know.
It may encourage someone else.
Yeah.
It encourages me.
Yeah.
It really does. I don't have children, and I can't imagine what a parent must feel when they go through what you had to go through. But then when you reflect on it, does that draw you closer to the Father and His Son?
It shows me how God is active with us individually in our lives.
Yes. That prayer that your friends prayed with
yeah.
you, you know, I'm sure that had an effect on the outcome of the situation.
Oh, yes.
You know, God wants us to ask. So, yeah, these personal testimonies are so beautiful. So where were we in this Acts chapter 20?
Let's have you read Acts 20:17 through the end of the chapter.
Okay, sure. I'll be glad to do that. And you just, if you want to stop me somewhere,
right.
You just do that. So Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17, it says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to know, or when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me in the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing and was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So he knew things were going to get difficult, didn't he? He recognized that.
Yes.
Verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And verse 29, it says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, that I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he said these things, they knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the wounds which he spoke, and that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship.
So Paul had an understanding. He was meant to go to Jerusalem, but he understood not good things were going to happen there.
Yes.
You know, one of the questions that we talked about off the air was, what was Paul preaching about? We were reading about how he's preaching about stuff. Well, this part of Acts 20 gives us some idea of what he was preaching about. For example, verses 20, he says, I kept back nothing that was profitable, but having shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was what he was talking about. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, this is what he preached. And, you know, it's amazing. He while he did these things, he also served as a tent maker. He worked.
He supported himself.
He did.
And those with him.
That's right. So this is a real testament, because so many times people, they want to be supported by these ones they're witnessing to.
Yeah.
But here he was working a job and preaching at the same time.
Yeah.
And what a ministry, what a witness that is to be self-supporting.
And I think it's in either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, he tells why he does that. He didn't want to have people meet his needs that, and in doing so, distract from the richness of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's amazing how when we do these things, when we stand up for Jesus and we do things according to the way the men that followed him did it, our ministry will prosper. And it might not be huge. You know, Paul had a tremendous ministry. Don't feel discouraged if your ministry is just your next door neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Or just the person that you know from school or work or at the grocery store. You have a witness. You're making a difference.
You know, sometimes people think of the word missionary mean you're going to some foreign country.
Right.
And talking about the Bible and about Christ. A missionary is talking to those around you.
Yes, it is.
Living the life of a Christian that people can see around you.
That's right. We have a mission field right in our neighborhood, right?
Yes.
Just in your own neighborhood.
You don't have to travel thousands of miles to do what Paul is doing here.
And some people desire to do that. And if you do, make it a matter of prayer. The Lord might use you in that way.
There's one thing I want to bring attention to before we end the program in Acts 20:28.
Sure.
It says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood."
Yes.
The Holy Spirit has purchased with his own blood. Does that give you any idea who this Holy Spirit is?
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
So who is it that died for us?
Yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
So Jesus, he is that Spirit, isn't he? So that's an amazing text. It really is. In fact, when I read that, I paused. I was going to comment. I thought, let me keep going. Yeah. I didn't want to stop.
When you see that with your own eyes, you go, wow.
Yes.
Look what it's saying.
And this is why I mentioned at the outset, if you have a Bible and you have the time when you're listening to this program, open it and read along with us because you will see things that you won't otherwise hear sometimes. It's really amazing. So are there any concluding remarks about this passage? We have about a minute.
Yeah, Paul, people have been prophesying to him as he's been going along in his travels that don't go to Jerusalem.
Right.
So here in verse 24 it says, "But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify fully the gospel of the grace of God."
Amen. So we'll end it with that verse. Yeah. We're out of time, so we have to close with prayer. Friends, I hope you enjoyed this particular study. So let's just have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for this account in Acts, for the things that we see the Apostle Paul did. And we just pray, Father, that we can be examples for Jesus Christ, that we can pay attention to the miracles that are happening in our lives, that we can slow down. If there's anything in our life that we need to get out, Father, we ask you to help us to recognize it and to follow through with getting those things out that Christ may dwell in us. We ask for you to be with us until we come together again next week. And Father, we just pray for your blessing, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, it's been a blessing once again.
Yes.
And friends, we hope to see you here next week, 7 p.m., New Visions Radio, next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.